one connection tool to the internet by 2020. So as you begin to think about all these different tools, you know, it's interesting because when we talk about the whole idea of being a connected educator or a connected learner, it isn't just about the tool, but it's also just about how are we connecting with others? What are the things that we're doing in our classrooms? What are the things we're doing in our schools? What are the things we're doing in our relationships? To reach out and really invest in other people, to take that leap of faith, to take a risk. And so when we think about the work that we do each and every day, I think about what is it that connected educators really do differently when it comes to risk-taking, when it comes to taking this leap of faith. And so the question I often ask people is, what would you do differently if you weren't afraid? And how does that pertain to the work that we do each and every day, knowing that in today's age, 2018, we have at our fingertips all the different tools that are available to us? And I know that sometimes that can become somewhat overwhelming when you think about it. Like, which tool, just as this poll, is it Facebook, is it Twitter, is it Instagram, is it Boxer, is it LinkedIn, is it YouTube? And so there's all these things that are accessible to us. And so as you begin to think as a leader or a classroom teacher, all the things that are available to us in the classroom, what are some of the things that we're hesitating in terms of, well, I'm worried that if I do this, that it may not work out. If I do this, what if I fail? And so the question often comes down to is, what would we do differently if you weren't afraid? So we're going to be talking about transforming the role of today's leader in the digital age. And I want to talk about 8 key connectors when it comes to being a connected educator. And we know that this starts with a mindset. And the mindset is this, that becoming a connected educator doesn't happen because you attend a workshop or because you join this webinar today. It's really about changing our mindset. So what is it that connected educators do differently? Well, we know, number one, the key connectors that we found out, and when I say we, I'm talking about Todd and Jeff and I, in our workings each and every day, and in terms of interacting with other individuals, here are the 8 key connectors we found. That number one, that they do invest in a personal and professional learning network. This whole idea of a P2LN. We know that connected educators learn when they want, what they want, how they want. That they embrace the 3 C's. And that they give twice as much as they receive. So it isn't just the fact that they're producers, they're also consumers, right? But we still go back and say this whole idea of servant leadership, that they're always focusing on giving more than they are receiving. They also strive to be tomorrow today. They know it's about the 3 R's. Our connected educators, we understand, model the way. And, of course, they know when to unplug. So what I'd like to do is kind of go through each of these and kind of give an example or two and talk about each one of these individuals. Number one, key connector number one, this whole idea of a professional and personal learning network. And I'm going to use Twitter as the example here because oftentimes people ask me, so is it okay to use a separate account for both my professional and for my personal? And I think there are different reasons for using those. So let me see if I can explain my thoughts on that. So first of all, I would say this, that I do think it's important that even though you're using it as a professional tool, that people want to know who you are. So there's that personal side of it. So why would they want to connect with you? And we know that people want to connect with people that they can feel they can relate to. So I do encourage people, even if you have a tool like Twitter that you want to use for professional reasons, don't hesitate to also use it for personal reasons. It's okay to share some personal things, your travel plans, perhaps some personal things that you're interested in doing. Maybe you want to share something about the fact that you're a runner, maybe it's some hobbies, whatever happens to be the case. And yes, you can then turn around and still tweet an educational resource. You can share a reflective thought on something. So it's okay to mix the two. Where I share with people in terms of a professional account, I do think it's appropriate for principals or teachers to have accounts in the classroom or a Twitter account for their school. And so this is very appropriate. And I often share with the reason we want to do that is because think of it this way. Let's say you're at an event. Maybe it's a jazz concert or maybe it's a volleyball game. And if you're constantly tweeting what the score is over and over because you're into the event or you're into the game, I often tell people I don't want to flood someone's Twitter feed because I want to remind them what the score is every 2 or 3 points. And so that might be a reason to have a separate type of activities account. Or perhaps you want to share out a bell schedule, or you want to share out that school is getting delayed, or it's getting canceled, or there's a parent evening that night. It's, again, people will often use school accounts to do that because they don't want to flood their other Twitter feed to their followers by sharing these things that perhaps they may not have an interest in. And so, again, it's okay to still share those things on your personal accounts, but those might be some reasons to go ahead and open up a school account, a Twitter handle, or a Facebook page or an Instagram account, so it isn't just always about sharing personal stuff within that school account. So that's how we often see that being used. LinkedIn is another example. I know only 4% we showed here today is or one of their favorites, but it doesn't mean that people aren't using it. And we see more and more crossover with that, with people obviously in the business world, but we also see more educators getting on LinkedIn because, again, once again, the connections that go with that. So whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Voxer, that's a walkie-talkie app we'll talk about here in a few minutes. Either way, these are different tools that we can begin to continue to connect with one another as we continue our work as educators. Facebook, we know, is another one. Instagram. And the thing that I often share with these tools is that you can interlink them as well. I know oftentimes people get worried that, well, geez, I don't have time to do Instagram and then Facebook and then Twitter. And there are tools and there are ways to connect those that if you do send an Instagram pick out, you can actually send it to Facebook and Twitter at the same time. So you don't have to do it 3 different times. You can actually link these accounts. And so with one post, it'll actually go to 3 different venues. And as we know, it depends where the people are that we want to reach, right? Some people are using Facebook more. Maybe they're using Snapchat or using Instagram. And so when we talk about engagement and community engagement, we want to reach out and use as many different tools as possible because we want to access as many different people and be able to make an impact with as different many people as possible. And so that's a reason why we want to learn how to connect these different accounts so it actually saves us time and it doesn't actually create more time for us. So with all these, you know, these different apps that are available today, you know, again, people get a little worried that they get inundated and they start using all these tools to connect over and over and over. And as I often share with people, these are great tools. It is 2018. And if we want to make an impact, then why wouldn't we be using the tools that are available for us? And I often think about this. It isn't just about making an impact. It's actually about making the greatest impact that we possibly can. And if we want to do that, then why wouldn't we take advantage of the tools that are available to us in 2018? Now, having said that, we also don't want to forget this, that regardless of all the tools that are available out there, and I'm a believer in them and I enjoy using them, there is still no more powerful connection than face-to-face. I still think that that's the most powerful connection. And if you think about it, if you go back to the 80s and early 90s, mid-90s, late 90s, many people, including yourselves, were already connected educators. We were just connecting in different ways. We were picking up the phone. We were doing site visits. We were meeting at the conferences. But what's different today than those days is that today it seems like when you go to a conference, because you have all access to all these tools and because you're able to connect and, more importantly, stay connected, it makes it seem as though the connections are stronger, that now when we go to a conference or we go to a workshop or we go somewhere where other educators are going to be, there's just a sense like we already know these people. Even though we perhaps have never met them face-to-face, there's a feeling of I'm looking forward to it because I want to meet these people. And then when you meet them, you feel like you've kind of known them all your life just because, again, you've been connected with them through these different social media apps that are available today. So we also know key connector number 2 is about learning when you want, what you want, and how you want. And so I want to share one of those ways is especially for those of you who are on Twitter or those of you who are on Instagram or Facebook or whatever happens to be the case, this whole idea of the hashtag. And I know still sometimes people get confused with, well, how does that necessarily work, especially like in chat rooms, etc. So I want you to think about a hashtag just a little bit differently now. And if you're going to explain to others this whole concept of using the hashtag, I want you to think of it this way. Think of a hashtag as a community. So when you start thinking about, well, this hashtag leadership, for example, well, that would be a community where leaders hang out, where they want to connect with other leaders who are as passionate as they are, and they want to talk about maybe perhaps some of the same things, or they want to reach out, or they want to make an impact, or they want to learn more about leadership. That is a community of leaders. So think of the hashtag. If it's hashtag fifth chat, then maybe that's the community where fifth grade teachers live. And so it doesn't really matter what the hashtag is. I just want you to think of it as a community, because for me, this whole idea of what connected educators do differently is they begin to form these different communities. They begin to build communities and, quite frankly, sometimes build communities that never existed before. And they're able to do that by simply using a hashtag in their tweet or their post, and knowing that that hashtag is going to then go, or I'm sorry, that tweet or that post is going to go to this community where other people who perhaps either think like them or aspire to be like them, or quite frankly, want to be challenged, or perhaps maybe be provoked into a conversation. But these things can happen within this idea of this community. So I want you to think about the hashtag as a community moving forward when you hear that. And so, for example, here is a caption of a Twitter, of my Twitter feed. So if you take a look at this and you're on Twitter and you go down to the search, window here, if you type in hashtag there and then follow that up, whether it's leadership or whether it's AP chat or perhaps it's new teacher chat, you always have to have the hashtag there, but that will then take you to this community of learners that exists. So you could simply, just by putting it right there in the search bar, a little number sign, the hashtag, typing in the word, that will take you to that community. If you're looking for individuals, then for Twitter, you would use the at symbol, and then that would help you locate individuals as opposed to locate these communities. YouTube is another great way. We all know that. I know many people often tell me today that almost anything they want to be able to do, they can quickly search it on YouTube. And quite frankly, we have more and more people who are learning how to do things. They're taking control of their own learning. They're taking responsibility to say, you know what, I don't need someone to do that for me. I can just go on YouTube, watch a video, and then figure it out myself. So this is another way that we can build these communities, and a community where people can go to learn from one another and share out their learnings and, quite frankly, begin to do things and take responsibility for their own professional development and their own growth and their own learning. So we often talk about, in terms of connected educators, that the only barrier to your own learning is your own unwillingness to learn. And if you think about that just for a second, it's what is keeping us? And it kind of goes back to that question I posed before, is what would you do differently if you weren't afraid? And I think what happens oftentimes is we begin to think of reasons why we can't learn something. And quite frankly, we often use this whole notion of time. And I often share with people, when we start saying that we don't have time to do something, I think we need to be careful about that. I think I want to encourage people to begin to look at time differently and begin to use it in terms of trading time. Because I do think there's a lot of things that we do in education today, and quite frankly, in both not only in our professional life, but in our personal life, where we do tend to waste a lot of time. And so if we begin to look at things and trade time rather than say we don't have time, it's interesting all the other things that we would maybe perhaps be able to do. We've also figured out that those who are using different types of social media apps and have learned to connect those apps and learned to connect with other people are actually saving time, because they're not having to recreate everything on their own, that they can actually reach out to people and ask for resources or share resources or go to different sites where they can grab tools and grab resources, maybe perhaps even a lesson plan. Perhaps it's a rubric. Maybe it's an assessment. Maybe it's a survey. These are things that exist right now, and that's what I love about the connected educators, is that these are individuals who truly want to help other people, and they seem to be very giving and are willing to support other people in their learning. Key connector number 3 is about communication, collaboration, and community. And so what we've learned is these connected educators, they focus on the communication, and they focus on collaborating and coming together as a team and inspiring others to want to build these communities. And as I said before, even build communities that currently don't exist. So I noticed on the poll earlier that we didn't have too many people using Voxer, and I still encourage people. I still tell people that Twitter is still my go-to tool, but I do love Instagram. But when I want to take the conversation a little deeper, I reach out to Voxer. And one of the things I love about Voxer, it's another opportunity to use as a collaborative tool. It's a walkie-talkie app. It's free. But you can also build communities because you can have groups of individuals who can perhaps share reflective thoughts, or you can reach out to people. And when you do that, it actually creates a running log of all the conversations. So it actually is able to curate all the information, and then you can save it and keep it there. But it's also a great way to bring a group of people together and connect and share reflective thoughts, learn from one another, and quite frankly, take the conversation a little deeper. I know with Twitter, increasing and doubling the size of the characters has helped a little bit, but sometimes it's still better to have a conversation, and maybe perhaps we can't connect on the phone, but we can certainly leave a message through Voxer where people can then on their own time go back and listen to that and then respond. So if you haven't tried Voxer, I would encourage you to reach out. And again, if you're struggling how to use that, I'm certain there's, you know, people have written blogs on how to use it. But once again, I would share it with you. Just simply go to YouTube and it would share you how to use the Voxer app. I also encourage people when it comes to building community is to think about perhaps maybe even starting a staff blog. This staff blog is TSLG 1440. It stands for Teaching, Sharing, Learning, Growing 1,440 Minutes a Day. But what I love about staff blogs, it's an opportunity to really get others to really begin to reflect on their own work and quite frankly begin to write down some of their thoughts. And those thoughts can be about what they're doing in the classroom. Maybe it's some incident, or perhaps it's something that happened at school or a situation they were involved in. And so the reflection isn't only for themselves, but it's also to help others grow and push their thinking and get them to reflect. And to also remind us that as educators, we're all facing some of the same things on a daily basis. You know, I heard Honor share at the beginning that, you know, to be author of 3 books, you know, obviously I'm very proud of that and it's an honor. But the reality is this, is that we all know every one of us on this, you know, webinar today, and almost every educator that I know could write a book. That book would be called You Can't Make This Stuff Up, right? So if you think about that, look at all the things that are happening to you on a daily basis. And I know sometimes you go home and you share stories and share some of the things that happen in the classroom or in your school, and people just cannot believe it. But it is the work that we do, and this is the work that we love to do. But how can we begin to share these stories in a really positive way and share not only the stories in a positive way, but to connect that, and how does it connect with the work that we do, and what are ways we can give as examples to help others continue to grow in the work each and every day. And what I love about the staff blog is that it levels the playing field. So whether you're a classroom teacher or a principal or a superintendent or paraeducator or secretary, you work in the kitchen, you're security, regardless of what your role is, one of the things I loved about blogging, which is no different really in my mind than Twitter, because Twitter is like a micro blog where this is, you know, obviously, you know, perhaps it's 500, 800, 1,000, 1,500 words for a blog, where Twitter is like a microblog, no different than Instagram and Facebook, but it's an opportunity to really share all the things that are happening in our schools today. And so I would encourage you to think about perhaps beginning a staff blog to share all the great things that your staff is doing. Key connector number 4, as I shared earlier, it's about the idea of giving twice as much as we take. We've learned that givers, right? We talk about the givers as they the takers, they eat well, right? This whole notion of takers eat well because they're consumers. They consume a lot of information. They're out on social media. They're grabbing resources. They're grabbing tools. They're consuming because they want to learn as much as possible. And so they just keep taking and taking and taking. And that is why that whole phrase of takers eat well. But we also know that givers sleep well. And the reason is because sometimes they become exhausted, right? Because they're just giving and giving and giving. And if it's true, what we learn is that what we believe is that we give twice as much as we take. It's because we are producers. We are constantly producing and not just consuming. And so we've learned this notion of givers sleep well and takers eat well. We learn that givers, they respond. So when it comes to social media, they're available, right? So if you reach out to someone on social media, regardless of what that tool is, what we've learned is that connected educators will take the time and make the time to respond. That's what we do as educators. And that's what I love about our profession more than anything else, is that we are filled with people who want to continue to give and support others in their learning and to help grow our profession. We also know that givers promote. They not only promote ideas, but they also promote the people behind those ideas. So they're constantly sharing out perhaps their reflective thoughts. Perhaps they're sharing out their blogs. Perhaps they're sharing out maybe some resource, or they're sharing out books that someone has written. So whatever it is, they're constantly promoting. They're promoting people, and they're also promoting their ideas. And lastly, we know that givers are constantly connecting people to other people. So they meet people, they reach out, they connect this individual to this individual, and so they're constantly trying to build these communities, and they do that by connecting people to others who are just as passionate as they are, perhaps connecting with people who are trying to learn, perhaps connecting with people who are struggling and wanting to support. But we know that they respond at any given moment, at any given time. They were always there for one another. They promote people and their ideas, and they connect people to other people. So I want to take a minute here just to pause, and I want you to reflect on this question. What challenges are you finding in your school when it comes to becoming a connected educator? And what I'd like you to do is, if you'll respond to that question in the chat box, or in the question box, I should say, then Honor will take those questions and share out so you can then take and begin to look what other people are sharing. And I'd like to take a look at a couple of those questions as well, and perhaps even take a minute or two to respond. So if you'll take time right now to reflect and respond to this question in the question box, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, we often hear this whole notion of time being the biggest challenge, right? But again, I want you to think through, then how can we begin to use these tools in a way to kind of save time? But the other thing is this. I think sometimes there's this perception that people who are on social media spend all their time on social media. And, I mean, I can be really honest. Today, I bet I've spent a total of maybe 10 minutes on social media today. And what we find out is that individuals will take that social media tool and use it when they need it. So if they have a couple minutes, they might take a look at it. Or maybe they say, you know what, I'm going to take a 30-minute chunk of time right now and really invest some time and really look through my feed and go look up some resources and try to connect with some people. They're very intentional on that. But the reality is this. Think of the Twitter or an Instagram or a Facebook. Think of that feed as a stream. And just like a river or a creek or whatever, it's always flowing. And so at any time, you can step right back in and pick up right where you left off. I think some people who are maybe newer to social media often think that, oh my goodness, I got to go back to the beginning today and go see everything I missed. Well, you can't do that. And quite frankly, you shouldn't do that. Just pick up wherever it picks up, because we learn that it's always going to be there and available. So begin to think of that as not something that you have to constantly be on, but can we dedicate 5 or 10 minutes a day, or can we send 2 or 3 tweets a day, maybe one in the morning, maybe it's a reflective thought, maybe it's a quote, maybe it's a resource, maybe we just retweet something. So begin to think of it as not something that consumes you, but something that you use when you need it and it's available for you, and then you just take that opportunity when you have time and want to make the time to do that. So I see this as an administrator. My challenge is getting teachers to see the value of being connected to their colleagues and other educators around the world. So one of the things I often share with administrators is model the use of the tool at every possible opportunity. So, for example, every time you bring a group of people together, I see that as an opportunity to not only teach, it's not only an opportunity to model, but it's also an opportunity to build a community and strengthen a community, or even build a community that didn't exist before. So I often share with administrators, we don't want to require our staff to use social media tools. We want to inspire our staff to use it. But the reality is this, they need to understand, well, why would I want to use this tool? What's the benefit that I would get? And I think that's our responsibility as teachers with students or administrators with staff, is to begin to show them the value and show them how you're using Twitter or using these social media tools to gather resources or to teach or to demonstrate or to push people's thinking so they're reflecting on whatever it is we want them to reflect on. But I often tell people, to start a faculty meeting or even start a parent meeting is simply have your Twitter feed up. And as people come into the meeting or come into the assembly or come into the event, you know, they begin to look at that and then just take a couple minutes to mention, to say, hey, you know, if for those of you who are wondering what this is basically a Twitter feed, or it's a tweet deck, or it's Instagram. And And then just say something as simple as, hey, you know, we're trying to build this community here. And if you would do me a favor, for those of you who are on social media, if you wouldn't mind just saying, sharing a positive thought about our school and creating this and posting it to a Facebook page or including a hashtag or tweeting it out or whatever happens to be the case. So I do think these are opportunities then to model the use of these tools and then help people understand the benefit. And so basically it's, why would I want to use those tools? So once we begin to use the why, and one of the areas I often tell people is to go back to that search bar again and show them the power of the hashtag, show them how communities are formed and where people are going to learn from one another, and begin to use that tool simply to search and to be able to show them that they can find useful resources that they can then take back and utilize with their students or their colleagues or even their administration or whatever happens to be the case. So. Okay, so hopefully you guys get an opportunity to see some of those concerns and some of those challenges. I'm going to go ahead and move on here to the presentation. We know that key connector number 5 is about striving to be tomorrow today. And basically what this is, it really comes down to this. It's this notion of living your excellence. It's this idea of striving for greatness. And what we learn is that those who strive for greatness, those who want to live their excellence, are always modeling the behaviors that they want to see repeated because they understand that what they model is what they get. And so I want you to begin to think of it this way in terms of when you begin to think about what is it that key connector number 5 really means, it's about they're never satisfied with the status quo, and more importantly, they are never going to ask somebody to do something that they're not willing to do themselves. So they model the behaviors that they want to see repeated. And that's what we learn about those who are connected in this world, right? And that's why they're using these social media tools, because they want to model risk-taking. They want to model others, their vulnerability. They want to model to others that, just like Jimmy Casas did at the age of 44, you're never too old to begin to utilize these tools. You just need to figure out, well, why would I use it? What is the benefit? And how could I begin to use these tools to support my students, to support my staff, to grow and our community, and to connect one another? And so these are different things that we found out that connected educators do differently when it comes to striving to be tomorrow today. We also understand, as part of that, is they these folks who strive to be tomorrow today also understand that this idea of professional development, right? So I have here a screen about an ed camp. So perhaps they take advantage of an ed camp. And for those of you who have been to an ed camp or perhaps never been to an ed camp, this is an opportunity to come together with other like-minded educators, and bottom line is to work together, collaborate, and to grow with one another and to facilitate their own learning. We know this, that connected educators believe that they are responsible for their own professional development. I often share with people that I still believe today that Twitter is the best individualized professional development tool there is. And notice I stress the word individualized. And yet we can use it as a collaborative tool, no doubt. But if you want to take time on your own and begin to learn, that there are ways to do that through using these social media tools. So if you've never been to an ed camp, they're held all over the country. The concept and the notion behind it is this idea that the smartest person in the room is the room. And so it's bringing people together, allowing them to say, you know what, this is what I want to learn today. Gives opportunity for people to share topics of interest, and then allows people to choose the learning that they want for that day. And it isn't like a conference where people are presenting, but it is kind of like a conference within a conference, or it can be held that way, where people now are taking responsibility for their own learning, their own professional development, and facilitating sessions and getting the entire room involved, because the idea is to learn from one another. So it is something I would highly encourage if you've not attended a ed camp. Many states today have ed camps, but we also know many schools are hosting those in their own districts. Also, chats are very popular. If you go to, you can search Jerry Bloomgarten, the Cyberman 1 on Twitter. He has a page for chats, but you can pretty much find a chat on anything you want at any given time, on any given day or even evening. And these are wonderful ways, again, you can either join them live, and so often people will share those as live chats, whether that's SAT chat or new teacher chat or ed chat or teach like a pirate, lead like a pirate. There's all these different chats that are on a regular basis Culture Ed is a very popular chat, and so you can search these chats. Again, I would encourage you to maybe look at Cyberry Man on Twitter, at CyberryMan1, I should say, but and to begin to look at the different types and the evenings and days that they're hosting chats. Now, you can either do it live, but these hashtags, these communities, are also ongoing all the time. So if you wanted to go to Iowa Ed Chat, for example, even though it's held on Sunday nights at 8 o'clock, it doesn't mean you can't go to that community or that hashtag or that feed right now and see what people are posting in those communities. So you can either do it live or you can do it on your own time. Oftentimes people, too, will, the moderators of these chats will also curate the responses and then put those out later so people can go back and look at it, because some of these chats can be quite lively when you're in it live and move very quickly. And I think that's where sometimes people get a little frustrated or overwhelmed, but I share with people, it's okay just to lurk, it's okay to read, it's okay to save, it's okay to favorite and retweet, and then it's also okay to go back and look at questions later and then reflect and write at your own pace. So we also know that the power to grow lies in the power to reflect, and that's what I love about many of these tools. It's just the opportunity to reflect on the work that we do each and every day, because we do know that without reflection, there is no growth. But I also remind people that that's also just the first step, that it has to be more than reflection, that at some point we actually have to take action. So it is about reflection, but it's also about the action to that as well. Key connector number 6, we often talk, it's always about the relationships. This whole idea of the 3 R's, relationships, relationships, relationships. And what we have found out is that those who are connected educators understand that this pyramid of relationships is critical. That this first step of the relationship is one that we spend a lot of time on, and that is getting to know others, right? Whether it's a teacher getting to know their kids or it's a principal getting to know the staff, it is really important for those that are in supervisor roles that they once again model these behaviors. Because if we're going to ask our teachers, our coaches, our paraeducators to get to know the kids, then it's really important that we model that and really get to know our staff. But unfortunately, we spend a lot of time in the first tier of getting to know others. But what we often forget is it's also important that we go deeper and that we go to the second level where we allow others to get to know us. And when I say get to know us, I mean get to know our core. What is it we strive for? What do we stand for? What's our core principles? What are we willing to go to the wall for? What gets us jacked up that every morning we want to go to work? These are things that every one of us who went into this profession went into it because we wanted to change the world. We wanted to make a difference. And so we had this core belief. And I often ask people as they go later in their tenure as an educator, for some of us, we hit these ruts, that we have moments that are ebbs and flows, that we get exhausted, we get tired, perhaps some people get burned out. And I think it's because we forget why we went into the profession in the first place. And so as much as it is important to get to know others, we have to allow others to get to know us, because if we don't do that, then it's really hard to build capacity, because people are always asking for permission. And the reason they're always asking for permission is because they don't know who we are. They don't know our core. And so again, I often remind people is that we have to be willing to share that. And then the third and the deepest part of the relationship pyramid is we have to create environments where others get to know one another. That a classroom has students that truly know one another, that a staff truly, truly knows one another. And I don't mean in a congenial sense. I mean in a collegial sense. Again, that they know each other's core, that they know their stories, that they know their families, that they know what motivates them, that they know one another so deeply that what's wonderful about this is that it begins to create this culture of empathy. It eliminates the judgment. It eliminates the gossip. It eliminates the meanness and the bulliness, whether it's in the classroom or, quite frankly, in a building or in a department or on a grade level team. It's creating opportunities where people get to know one another is so, so critical if you want to really, truly strive for a culture of excellence. So key connectors, number 6 is the 3 R's, and we believe that what connect educators do differently is they truly focus on all 3 tiers of those relationships. And then again, key connector number 7, as I kind of mentioned this already a little bit, but the idea of modeling the way again, and that's modeling the behaviors they want to see repeated and again, not going to ask other people to do something that they're not willing to do themselves. And they're always reflecting on living their excellence each and every day, not just as a teacher, but whether it's as a father or a son or a husband or a wife or as a significant other or whatever their role is, they're always striving to model the way. And we know that that's what we have found, that passionate educators who are connected, the reason they are connected is because they want to show others that they too are willing to invest in one another using these social media tools. And then the last key connector is this whole notion of unplugging that we can't forget. And I often hear still today that often people still are critical of people who are spending too much time on the screen, perhaps not investing in one another, not talking, not enjoying the moment, not invested, not being intentional, not being purposeful. But at the same time, also understand that, yes, it is important to unplug, just again, to take time to step away from it and to truly enjoy one another's company, sometimes without the notion of the screen. It's really interesting. I just was hiking and doing some hiking, and my son had said, "Hey, Dad, you know, I just want to enjoy this," because I had asked him, "Are you going to go around and take some pictures?" He goes, "You know what? I just want to look at it." And it was really interesting, and it kind of just reminded me again, we get to a spot, we want to show that spot, we want to showcase that beautiful event, we want to showcase that beautiful scenery, and we quickly go to want to take pictures of it rather than just truly, truly enjoy it. So I certainly will encourage everyone to make sure that they're taking time to be intentional with your family and be intentional with their time when they're around others. And I can be just as guilty as anybody else on that, so we have to be really intentional in that. So just as a quick reflection, I want you to think about which resonates most with you. You don't need to answer this, but as you go through it, just maybe in your mind, kind of think, is it the idea of investing in both this professional and personal learning network, does that resonate with you, or is it this idea of learning when you want, how you want, or the idea of the three C's, the collaboration, the communication, the community, or is it the idea that you believe that you're kind of a servant leader or a servant educator where you're giving more and more and rather than taking more, so you're often giving twice as much as you're taking? Or are you one of those people who is always striving to be tomorrow today, that you're striving for excellence, that you want to live your excellence, that you're not afraid to share with others that you want to be great, that you're worried about becoming status quo? And we need our best people, in my opinion, striving for greatness in the classroom, because that's what our kids deserve. They deserve our very, very best. We definitely know it's about the three R's, and for many, I know it comes down to the relationships. I still believe that is the most critical of all of them, in my personal opinion, because it is the foundation of everything we do. And from that, whether it's a program, whether it's an initiative, whether it's something that's happening, an activity or a lesson, that it'll be so much deeper, so much richer, and I believe our kids and our adults will get so much more out of it if they do it in the spirit in which it's intended, which is connecting with others and having those relationships that are built on trust and these other attributes that we know that are really important when it comes to relationships. And we know it's modeling the way. Perhaps you're one of those individuals who truly believe that it's, hey, I'm not going to ask other people what I'm not willing to do ourselves, and recognizes that importance of what we model is what we get. Or also for many of some of us right now, it's, hey, I need to figure out and spend more time and being more conscientious and more intentional about unplugging. So just something to reflect on there. So again, another reflective thought is, how are you using social media currently in your school? Just think about that just for a second. I'm not asking you to type anything up, but I am going to ask you another question here that I do want you to respond to. But right now, when it comes in your school, whether you're in the classroom or whether you're a building leader or a district leader, how are you currently using social media to tell your story? And this is what I love about the book written by Joe Sanfilippo and Tony Sinanis, where they often talk about this idea of, you know, who's telling your story? Who is telling your story? Because someone is telling your story, right? And so isn't it, it's important to recognize that someone's going to be telling that. So why wouldn't we want that person telling that story to be you? We know specifically in today's day and age, we have a lot of people who are making judgment on the work that we do. It's always interesting to me, right? There are these people who have never been in our schools, people who judge us, the work that we do, perhaps they're critical of it. Perhaps they're critical as educators, right? They often talk about, you know, we have weekends off, we have all these vacations, we have all these holidays off, we have summers off, right, and all this notion. And it's interesting to me when I think about that I still believe that being an educator is the most important profession there is. There is no greater profession in my personal opinion. And I often try to remind people, yeah, we might only work 5 days a week, but remember those 5 days a week are 12 and 13 or 14 hours a day. And I also know this, is that I don't know of any other profession that can do 12 months of work in 9 months. So I give our teachers and I give our educators and school leaders and district leaders a lot of credit because I know how hard they work. But having said that, that is why it's important that we take advantage of these apps and we take advantage of our voice and that we're out there carrying the banner for our schools and our classrooms and we're talking positively and we're sharing all the great things and we're sharing it through social media because we know the reach. We know how powerful that reach can be. And so it's our responsibility rather than be critical of those who critique us. What are we doing to bring them on board? What are we doing? Are we personally inviting these people into our building? And oftentimes we'll say, well, I asked them to come and they don't show up. And then anyway, I tell them, well, then ask them again and keep asking them and keep asking them. And rather than tell them to come, let's give them a reason to come. Let's show them all the great things that are happening. And perhaps by doing that, then eventually these naysayers or these people that are critical of the work that we do will begin to invest more time in our students and more time in our school communities and get a better understanding of the work that we do each and every day. So again, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, whether you create your own school account, right, with a, whether it's a school Twitter account or create your own hashtag, again, these are awesome tools to use to be able to continue to tell our story each and every day. And the last thing I want to talk to you today about is perhaps thinking about blogging. And I know people get intimidated when they think about that, but I'm going to go back to one of the key connectors, and that is this. Are we asking our kids every day to do things in the classroom that we ourselves aren't willing to do? You know, it's interesting to me because I know how many, you know, kids come into our schools and, you know, the value and the importance that we place on literacy and the skills that it takes to be able to read and write. But yet at the same time, we expect our kids to write paragraphs. We expect our kids to write papers. We expect our kids to write research papers. We expect them to do all these things. But the question is, are we as the adults willing to embrace our vulnerability and do the same thing? And so I'm going to encourage you to think about that. And why not share your story? Why not put yourself out there? And I think people hesitate, and for many, many reasons. And so I want you to think about it just for a second. Why blog? Well, it's an opportunity for reflection. It's an opportunity for you to encourage yourself to take responsibility for your own professional development, your own professional growth. It's an opportunity to inspire others to understand this. You know, it's interesting. People will say to me, Jimmy, what would I have to offer? Why would anyone care what I have to say? And I often remind them, because you're an educator. That's why you're an educator. You don't go into the classroom and say to the students, hey, guess what? Don't listen to me because I don't have anything to offer. Yes, you do. Everyone has something to offer. And quite frankly, I promise you that everyone who shares a story of the work that they do each and every day, it will resonate with someone. And if it resonates with one person and it helps support another educator who's perhaps having a difficult time or perhaps struggling or even thinking about leaving the profession, perhaps it is your words or your story or your connections that is just the thing that inspires them and keeps them coming back day in and day out. So I want you to think about blogging this way. It's simply this. Tell a story. Tell how that story connects to the work you do each and every day. And then just give a couple of examples how you do that. And if you just do that, that in itself is a blog. And so, you know, I still give credit to George Kuros, the gentleman who, for those of you who know him, who really pushed me into blogging over 6 years ago now, and I'm so glad he did. But like many of you, I was worried about it too. I didn't have confidence in my writing. I, you know, used the excuse of time. I was worried about, you know, the whole idea of being vulnerable and putting my work out there and, quite frankly, putting my style of writing out there. Like, was it grammatically correct? What if my writing isn't very good? And it's very a way to really put yourself out there in so many difficult ways, and I know people hesitate to do that, but I'm going to encourage you to continue to think about it, and even if you blog, you can always blog for yourself. You don't have to put it out there publicly, so maybe that's the way you start. You just write for yourself. So here's the last question I have, and I'm going to ask you again to take just a quick minute here to respond, and then we're going to wrap it up because I want to leave some time for some questions at the end. So what concerns do you have about using social media to tell your school story? And so if you'll take a minute here to share again in the question box, read what others are sharing. Is it some of the same concerns that you have, or are they just unique to you? And let's see if we can respond to some of those, okay? Take a minute here. I like that. We have no concerns. We just want to do more of it. Good for you. I think that was trolling, so a little worried about trolling there. I think I see that. And, you know, here's a couple things. It's really interesting, right, how we just have perhaps a troller or two really begin to influence. And, again, these are people who, quite frankly, I call these people awfulizers, right? They're just awfulizing the work that we do each and every day and, you know, prevent us from continuing to do this great work. And so I want you to remind yourself each and every day that when these folks that are out there awfulizing and trolling us and sharing negative things is, you know, these are individuals who are going to remain status quo and, quite frankly, try to suck the life out of people and bring them back to their status quo. And that's why it's so important in this connected world that we surround ourselves with people who aspire to do really great things, who aspire to move beyond the status quo and to, quite frankly, continue to strive for excellence. Yep, I think that's, you know, very good, especially age appropriate, right, for some of those. We know that, you know, we want to be sensitive to that in terms of, you know, are we sharing the faces of children, especially for those who have these user policies and in place who request that they don't want their children's faces shown. So we have to be respectful, we have to be careful, and we have to make sure that we put some of these things in place to make sure that these things aren't happening. But we also understand that at times some of these things will happen, and I think it's just how we manage those situations and conduct ourselves during those times. But I think those are some legitimate concerns when it comes to especially the younger children. We don't see that so much in high schools. We still do every now and then, but it's certainly much more prevalent in the younger grades. Yeah, I see this one again about the teachers being concerned about saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing again. I think we have to continue to create, you know, one thing I encourage people to do is maybe even model a Twitter chat during a faculty meeting. Maybe create a hashtag, pose a question, have people respond, share with it how, and let them see how this works. So maybe that's a real simple way to be able to do something like that. But again, I think as leaders and as teachers, as long as, you know, we continue to model it and continue to share with others how these things work and how we can curate and how we can support one another and how we can continue to do these things, I think is really, really important. I see another one sharing how they focus on Twitter, and it's been great for their school. And we see more and more of that. We see more and more school hashtags, district hashtags, school Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts and Instagram accounts. So it's really interesting, right? Just even in the last 5 to 10 years, how much, you know, it's common now in many schools that you'll see all these things that are happening and people sharing their stories. So, all right, I think I'm going to go ahead and move on here so we can get to wrap this up. And so I wanted to leave some time for some questions now. I know I posed a couple here, but I do want to reach back out to and open it up to any type of questions that people want to share or ask, I should say, right now. And let's see if I can, you know, I'll do my best to try to respond. Again, always remember I don't share with people. I don't have necessarily a monopoly on what the right answer is. I certainly don't have a monopoly on leadership. But like many of us, you know, we have experiences and we have things that we feel strongly about or things that we've seen have worked or areas that we've invested in and feel really good about. So if anyone wants to pose a couple questions in here, we'll see if we can respond to these, and I'll take a look at them here. So, Honor, again, if you can capture those questions, put them in here, we'll try to respond. Yeah, the whole idea of blogging sites, I mean, I always tell people to start off with the free. I think, you know, the blogger.com is probably one of the most common ones. You can go on YouTube. It's a free site. You don't have to pay for it. There's certain other ones that you can also pay for other ones too. But I would encourage people not to start there. I know people sometimes want to buy their own domain, and that's okay. But if you're going to do something like WordPress or go to a Bluehost and those types of things, those things cost money. And I know people get excited and they want to start, but the reality is oftentimes people will begin and then not continue it. So I tell people, start in a free domain like blogger.com, and once you get going, if you consistently do that for 6 to 12 months, then I would encourage you at some point, maybe you do want to reach into a different type of WordPress or something like that, because now you've shown and demonstrated that you're going to consistently do it, and it's not something that you're spending money on that you don't continue. So what are some hashtags to recommend? Again, you know, I always encourage people to go to Jerry Bloomgarten's site. It's at Cyberman One. Because if you go there, he actually has a tab for educators, and under that you will see chat. There's actually a box that says chat. You don't have to be on Twitter to go to it. You can just go to his website. I think it's cyberryman.com, so leave out the one. If you go to his website, it's just cyberryman.com. But I would encourage you to go there, click on the educators tab, I believe it is, and then the next tab you'll see under there is a chat. Hit that chat, and you can see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of chats that are available. But pretty much any type of chat that you want exists today. But, you know, again, if you're, you know, I know some of the common ones that I started with early on were, you know, SatChat is certainly one of the most popular ones on Saturday mornings. It's a Saturday, so it isn't during the school weekend and evening. But, you know, whether you want to deal with culture or you want to deal with standards-based grading or you want to deal with a leadership or, you know, there's a soup chat for those of you who are superintendents. You know, all sorts of chats that you can find, but I would encourage you to go to cyberryman.com. There you go. Thank you for putting that in there. I appreciate that, whoever put that in there. You know, it's interesting. I get that question a lot, too, about these Voxer groups, right? We do find that, you know, once these groups are formed, it's kind of hard to get into some of these groups. And so what I tell people all the time is, just form your own Voxer group then, right? You know, there are people who are in several Voxer groups. You know, it's not uncommon for people to be in four or five or six different Voxer groups. And so for those who are struggling finding one to become a part of, I encourage them, reach out to two or three educators and start your own Voxer group. And whether those are people that you have something in common with, whether they're building leaders or whether you're a classroom teacher or whether you're a high school teacher, perhaps you're an AP teacher, is find other AP teachers, encourage them to get connected on Voxer, and start your own group. That's what I would tell people. I see some people throwing in some Kids Deserve It, Sat Chat, Moms as Principals. Yep, Dads as Principals, NASP Chat. These are all some great sites. We still have a couple minutes. Does anybody have a final question that we can try to respond to? The other thing I encourage people too is not just the hashtags and not just, but also begin to look at people's blogs, to go and look at their Twitter feeds for those who you'll often see their links to their blogs on there. And, you know, it's a great way, especially in the morning before school starts is, you know, that's what I love about blogs is, you know, they take like 5 minutes to read and you can quickly get inspired or get an idea or two or, you know, get something that just causes you to reflect very, these quick hitters. And, you know, sometimes that's the best way to do it is just to quickly reach out to the blogs. You can also use them as some teaching tools as well. So if you're a principal, I'd encourage you perhaps to print off a blog or send a link to a blog to maybe your leadership team or a grade level team and ask them to read it and then come and pose a couple of questions and have some discussions about some of those posts. And does it resonate with your team? Does the message, does it align with your belief systems and perhaps have some conversations over those types of things? So. All right, well, looks like it's about 2:58. I'm going to be wrapping it up here. Obviously, we just shared some questions. If anyone still throws a question, then I'll try to respond to it. But I also want to do, I do want to share my contact information. I know sometimes it's kind of hard to do these on these webinars and so forth, but if perhaps later you think of something or you need something or you had a thought you want to share, you know, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Here's some different ways you can contact me, I will do my very best. And if you do reach out to me, rest assured, I will get back in touch with you, and then perhaps we can connect and go from there. So,
Jimmy, this is Honor Feedy. Thank you so much for sharing all your great ideas. We do have one last question. I just sent it over. What are some suggestions for communicating balance with students and staff?
Yeah, you know, that's another good question. I think that's one thing we hear all the time that we really struggle with finding the balance between this and finding the balance with that. And you know, we can talk all we want about being intentional. We can talk all we want about, you know, investing and so forth and trying to find that balance. But let me throw something out at you, a different idea. I'm going to ask you to think about it this way. Here's the problem I have with balance, because balance always implies that somehow we have to find this 50-50, 50% with my family, 50% with my work, 50% with my kids, 50% with my spouse. And I think that's really, really hard to do depending where you're at in your life. So I want you to think about it as life fit. As opposed to balance, think of it as life fit. Because here's the thing. My children, they're grown, right? So if my children are grown, I might be able to give more time to my classroom or to my school building or to my spouse or whatever happens to be the case because perhaps I don't have any children or perhaps my children are grown out of the house. But life fit looks differently for a young administrator who has three children at home under the age of five. Well, it's going to be really hard to find a 50-50 balance because you're at a certain point in your life that it's really hard to find that balance. And it should be more about life fit. Maybe it's 70% family, 30% work. And so it gives you permission. It's a little bit more forgiving for someone who's single than someone who's married or someone who has, you know, several children. It's different for someone who has a stay-at-home spouse as opposed to you have a two-spouse working family household. So all these things are different reasons. And so think about it. Well, where are you at in your life and how does that fit in there? And maybe not think about balance, but more importantly, give yourself permission and don't be so hard on yourself and don't feel guilty that you're able to go to more events in the evenings. Well, because you're in a different life fit, right? You don't have small kids at home. You don't have a family, whatever happens to be the case. So you don't need to feel guilty about that. And you also don't need to feel guilty if you're on the other end of the spectrum where you just can't keep going to these events or you can't keep giving and giving and giving or you can't keep doing all this because you have to be a mom. You have to, you know, transport kids to soccer. You have to take care of your, maybe your mother who's ailing or is, you know, elderly or is on dialysis or, you know, whatever happens to be the case. But people are always dealing with stuff in their personal lives that create, that causes balance to be really, really difficult. So I'm going to stop there. I'm going to say goodbye because I want to end on time. Honor, thank you very much. I want to thank NAESP again for this opportunity. For those of you who are not part of your state or national organizations, I want to really encourage you. Obviously, those that are on the webinar already are, but I'm going to encourage you to reach out to a colleague or a friend and encourage them as well. We need to support our associations, not just in the building, not just the district, but at the state. And quite frankly, the national level, whether it's NAESP or NASSP. Thank you again for the opportunity, Honor, and God bless everyone and have a great rest of the evening. I'm signing off.
Thank you, Jimmy.